ever feel like you're trying to grasp these massive concepts and you just feel overwhelmed, like you're kind of drowning in information?
Yeah, for sure.
Well, that's what we're all about here at The Deep Dive, trying to take on some of these huge ideas and make them manageable, make them understandable.
Mm-hmm.
And today we're tackling something that's central to understanding, I think, our faith, but it can be a bit tricky. It's this whole concept of already and not yet.
Mm-hmm.
It's like God has done some incredible things, but we're still waiting for the full, the final, the mind-blowing version.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a really good way to put it. It's like we're living in this in-between time.
Right. So to help us unpack this, we're going deep into a lecture by Dr. Robert A. Peterson called Salvation and Theological Themes.
Good stuff.
He really digs into how this already and not yet idea plays out, like, across the whole story of salvation.
It's a framework that helps us understand so much, I think, about what it means to be a Christian.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, so today we're going to explore how this already and not yet thing shows up in different parts of salvation. And we'll pull out the most interesting insights from Dr. Peterson's talk.
Sounds good.
All right, let's get started. Now, I know this already and not yet idea, it seems like, pretty basic, but where did it even come from? Like, who started talking about it this way?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, it's interesting. The actual term already and not yet didn't really become popular until the 20th century.
Uh-huh.
But the core idea, the underlying concept, that's been around for much longer. In fact, a theologian named Gerhardus Voss from Old Princeton, he really laid the foundation for this kind of thinking.
Hmm.
But it was another scholar, Oscar Kuhlman, who really popularized the specific terminology already and not yet that we use today.
Interesting. So he kind of coined the phrase.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Okay, so it's a relatively recent term, but it reflects a much older understanding.
Yeah.
And Dr. Peterson actually points out that this already and not yet thing, it's not just a New Testament idea. Like, we can see it way back in the Old Testament,
oh,
too.
It's woven into the fabric of the whole Bible, really.
So where do we see this in the Old Testament? Like, what are some examples?
Well, take creation, for instance. You know, in Genesis 1, it says God already created the heavens and the earth.
Right.
But then later on in Isaiah, we get this prophecy of a new heavens and a new earth.
Uh-huh.
And he describes it as a place where the former things, the bad stuff, will not be remembered or come to mind.
Wow.
So you have the initial creation, which is awesome in itself, but then you have this promise of a future, even more perfect creation.
It's like version 1.0 and then version like 2.0.
Exactly. And that future perfect creation, that's the not yet.
Okay. I see that. So creation itself kind of embodies this already and not yet. What about other Old Testament stories? Like, what about the Exodus? That's such a pivotal event.
Yeah, great example. The Exodus is all about God rescuing his people from slavery in Egypt. The Israelites already experienced this incredible deliverance.
Right, parting the Red Sea, the whole bit.
Yep. But then prophets like Isaiah, they start using that same Exodus language to talk about a future deliverance. A greater Exodus, you could say.
Interesting. So it's like the first Exodus was a foreshadowing of an even bigger ultimate Exodus that's still to come.
Exactly. And that future, that ultimate freedom, that's the not yet.
Okay. So the Old Testament sets the stage. Now let's dive into the New Testament and see how this already and not yet idea shapes our understanding of salvation.
Right.
And Dr. Peterson breaks down several different aspects of salvation.
Yeah. He goes through quite a few.
So let's start with election. God choosing us.
Hmm.
How does that fit into the already and not yet?
Well, the Bible is clear that God chose his people before the foundation of the world. We see this in places like Ephesians 1 and 2 Timothy.
Right. It talks about being chosen before time began.
Exactly. And the amazing thing is, even though this choosing happened in eternity past, believers can have a sense of it now through their faith in Christ.
So it's like in God's mind, it's a done deal from the start.
Yep. And we see the evidence of it in the present in those who believe.
Okay, so that's the already of election. What's the not yet part?
The not yet is the full impact, the ultimate unveiling of that election. And that includes our final glorification.
Hmm.
Romans 8 talks about God foreknowing, predestining, calling, justifying, and glorifying. And notice, glorification is the last step.
Right. We haven't fully experienced that yet.
Exactly. And that's why Paul talks about our ultimate salvation, our eternal glory with Christ, as something we're still waiting for.
So it's like we have a winning lottery ticket now, but the full payout is still to come.
I like that analogy.
Okay. Election's a big one. Next up is union with Christ.
Right. Another crucial aspect of salvation.
And Dr. Peterson really emphasizes this as a central idea.
Yeah.
So how does the already and not yet work here?
Well, the already is that we are united with Christ right now.
Yeah.
This happens when the Holy Spirit draws us to Christ, and it happens through faith.
Right. We're connected to him in a real way in the present.
Yeah. Galatians actually says, we have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer us who live, but Christ who lives in us. We're joined to his death and resurrection.
Wow. So that deep connection to Christ, that's the already.
Yep.
What are we still waiting for in terms of this union?
Well, the not yet is the complete and ultimate realization of this union.
Hmm.
Ephesians 1 talks about God bringing all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ in the future. And 1 Corinthians 15 says that just as everyone dies in Adam, so also everyone will be made alive in Christ. So that future resurrection, our transformed bodies fully united with Christ's glorified body, that's a key part of the not yet.
So it's like our union with Christ is both a present reality and a future hope.
Exactly. A theologian named Wayne Grudem put it well. He said that this union originates in God's election and finds its full expression in our glorification.
Okay, that's powerful. So from God's plan before time to our future, complete oneness with Christ.
Yep.
Okay, let's move on to regeneration.
Mm-hmm.
Being born again.
Right.
When does that happen?
Yeah.
And what's still on the horizon?
The New Testament is really clear that believers are made spiritually alive with Christ now. This is the already of regeneration. It's like a spiritual awakening.
Like getting a new heart.
Yeah, exactly. And this happens through the work of the Holy Spirit, as described in Ephesians, James, 1 Peter, and 1 John.
So that inner transformation, that spiritual newness, is happening in the present.
Right.
So the not yet must relate to our physical bodies then.
Yeah, you got it. The not yet aspect of regeneration is the future resurrection of our physical bodies to immortality. Jesus promises this in John 6, and Paul talks about it in Romans 8 and 1 Corinthians 15.
Okay, so spiritual rebirth now, physical resurrection later. It seems like this pattern is holding up pretty consistently.
It really is. It's amazing how it runs through all these different aspects of salvation.
All right, let's keep going. Next up is calling. How does God's call fit into this already and not yet?
Well, calling is interesting because it's mostly about the already. You know, God uses the gospel to call us to salvation in this present age.
Right. It's like an invitation that's extended and we can respond to it now.
Exactly. Romans 8, Colossians, 2 Thessalonians, 1 Peter, they all talk about God calling us to salvation, to his glory in the present.
So is there any sense in which calling is still in not yet?
There is a future aspect to it. In Matthew 25, Jesus talks about inheriting the kingdom prepared for us from the foundation of the world. And while he doesn't use the word call specifically, it's definitely implied.
Mm.
So there's this idea of a final definitive summons to our eternal inheritance in the future.
I see. It's like the present invitation leads to a future inheritance.
That's a good way to put it.
Okay, now what about conversion? Like turning from sin and trusting in Christ?
Yeah, conversion's a big one.
And it feels like a very now thing.
You're absolutely right. Conversion, which involves both repentance and faith, happens in this present age. That's the already. We turn away from our old way of life and put our trust in Jesus right now.
So the act of repenting and believing, that happens in the present.
Yep.
Where does the not yet come into play with conversion?
The not yet is that in the eternal state, in the new creation, there will be no more need for repentance or faith in the way we understand them now.
Interesting.
Sin will be completely gone, and faith, which is now trusting in what we can't see, will become sight.
So conversion is kind of like the present turning that leads to a future state where that turning is no longer necessary.
Exactly.
Okay, let's move on to justification. Being declared righteous in God's sight.
Another foundational aspect of salvation.
It feels like that would be a done deal now.
Well, it is and it isn't.
What do you mean?
God declares believers righteous by grace through faith right now. This is the heart of Paul's message in Romans.
Right. So legally speaking, we're not guilty in God's court right now if we have faith.
Exactly. But there's also a future aspect to justification.
Really?
Yeah. There are passages that point to a final vindication, a future justification. For example, in Matthew 12, Jesus talks about being held accountable for every careless word on the day of judgment. And our words will be used to justify or condemn us. And in Romans 5, Paul talks about the many being made righteous through Christ's obedience. This also has implications for a future declaration. A scholar named Douglas Moo, in his commentary on Galatians, suggests that when Paul talks about eagerly awaiting the hope of righteousness by faith, he's referring to this future confirmation of our righteous standing.
Okay, so it's like a present declaration that will be publicly affirmed in the future.
Exactly.
Interesting. Now, let's talk about adoption, becoming God's children.
Right.
When does that happen, and what's still waiting?
By God's grace and yes. through our faith in Jesus, we become God's children now. This is the already of adoption.
Right. We have that family relationship with God in the present.
Yep. Romans 8, Galatians 4, 1 John 3, they all emphasize this present reality.
Okay, so what does the future hold for our adoption?
The full revelation, the complete experience of our sonship, awaits the resurrection and the redemption of our bodies. Romans 8 talks about us eagerly waiting for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies, and our promised inheritance as God's children is also something we look forward to, as mentioned in Colossians, Titus, Hebrews, and 1 Peter.
So it's like we're part of the family now, but the full inheritance is yet to come.
Yeah, that's a good way to think about it.
Okay, next up is sanctification, becoming holy.
Right.
And that definitely feels like a work in progress.
It is. Sanctification is a great example of already and not yet.
So how does it fit in?
Well, God planned for our holiness before time began, as Ephesians says. And he sets us apart as holy through Christ's sacrifice. But believers are also actively being made holy in their lives right now.
Right. So there's a definitive aspect in Christ and an ongoing process in our daily lives.
Yep.
So what's the not yet of sanctification?
The not yet is our final complete sanctification. Ephesians talks about the church being presented before Christ as radiant, without stain or wrinkle, holy and blameless. And Paul prays in 1 Thessalonians for God to sanctify us completely, spirit, soul, and body at the coming of Christ.
Wow. So we're on the journey now, but the destination is complete holiness in God's presence.
Exactly.
Okay, last but not least, preservation and perseverance.
Yeah.
God keeping us saved and us holding on to our faith.
Right.
How does that fit into this already and not yet?
Well, God absolutely keeps his people secure in his love until the very end. That's the already. John's gospel assures us that no one can snatch us out of God's hand. And Romans 8 says there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. The Holy Spirit himself is a guarantee of our inheritance.
So we're secure in God's grip.
Yep. But the idea of perseverance also implies something on our part.
Right. Like we have to hold on to our faith, too.
Exactly. While God sovereignly preserves us, genuine believers will persevere in faith and obedience to the end. Hebrews and Revelation talk about the need to hold fast to our confession and endure.
So it's a partnership.
In a sense, yes. It's rooted in God's faithfulness, and it leads to our secure future with him.
Okay, so that's preservation and perseverance. Now, finally, let's talk about eternal life and glorification. Those seem like the ultimate not yet.
They do, but Dr. Peterson actually points out that there's an already aspect to them as well.
Really?
Yeah. Especially in the Gospel of John, eternal life is presented as something believers possess right now.
Wow.
Jesus says things like, "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life." And whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life.
Interesting. So there's a sense in which we experience eternal life in the present.
Yes. And 2 Corinthians even says that we're being transformed into Christ's likeness with ever-increasing glory by the Spirit right now.
So we get a foretaste of eternity now.
Right. But the full mind-blowing experience, that's still to come. That's the not yet. And outside of John's writings, when the New Testament talks about eternal life and glorification, it's often referring to the future.
I see. So we experience some of it now, but the ultimate fulfillment is still in the future.
Exactly.
Okay, wow, we've covered a lot of ground. But seeing how this already and not yet idea weaves its way through all of salvation, it's really amazing.
Yeah, it's quite a profound concept.
So to recap, the key takeaway here is that our salvation is this incredible combination of what God has already done and what he's promised to do in the future.
Exactly. We're living in this tension, this in-between time.
So for those listening, how should this already and not yet perspective change the way you view your own faith journey? What does it mean for your daily life?
Well, I think it brings both comfort and anticipation.
Hmm.
The already reminds us of God's grace and our secure standing in Christ right now.
It's like a solid foundation.
Exactly. But the not yet keeps us looking forward, reminding us that the best is yet to come.
It gives us hope.
Yeah, it helps us endure the present struggles, knowing that they're temporary in light of the eternal glory that awaits.
So it's not just about looking back at what Jesus did on the cross, or only forward to what heaven will be like. It's about living fully in light of both realities.
Right.
So here's a thought to ponder. How does the tension between the already you experience in your walk with God, that peace, that joy, that sense of purpose, and the not yet of future perfection and the fully realized kingdom, how does that shape your actions and your understanding of God's promises today?
That's a good question.
I think grasping this already and not yet dynamic can bring a whole new level of peace and eager expectation to our faith.
I agree. It's a game changer.
Thanks for taking this deep dive with us.